a familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to go to Luke chapter 2. I'll read the first 7 verses of the chapter, and that's where we'd be taking our text from tonight. Luke chapter 2. I'll try to maybe give something just a little bit different tonight than what is normally given from this Scripture. And I pray that it'd be a blessing to you. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We'd ask you to stand tonight and let's honor the reading of God's Word. The Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And of course, that's all of the Roman world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your precious and holy word. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. Lord, to take just a few moments, God, and open up your word. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you might use me, God, to be your messenger. Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, that these people will see Jesus. God, I pray that Lord, that you would become, Lord, just especially manifested here this evening. God, I thank you for the songs we've sung tonight. Lord, we sing songs of joy to the world because the Lord has come. And God, we also sung a song on where could we go but to the Lord. And God, when things are going on in our lives, God, where can we go but to you? God, we're glad to come to you because we know, Lord, that you're in control. God, there's nothing that surprises you. Lord, you see it all and know it all. And God, we just thank you for that. Now, God, I pray that you touch every heart. Search us, Lord, I pray. And God, if there's someone here tonight that doesn't know Christ as Savior, Lord, I pray before this evening is over, God, that they'll come forward and receive Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior and repent of their sins and be saved. God, I pray. And we'll give you the glory for it all. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated tonight. There was once two successful shoe salesmen from competing companies who were assigned by their firms to go to a remote location in Africa, set up shop, and begin to sell shoes there. And the first shoe salesman boarded the plane and headed into his new territory, unsure of what to expect, but hopeful that his venture would be a success. Well, his plane safely arrived in Africa, and the shoe salesman immediately began his assessment of his new wide-open market. It was less than an hour after the shoe salesman's arrival to Africa that he quickly phoned back to his headquarters and requested the first flight out and back to the States, explaining to his bosses in the U.S. that I cannot sell shoes here because nobody wears them. Everybody here is barefoot. Well, the second shoe salesman hopped on the plane, anxious to see what awaited him in Africa. He expected a challenge, but was optimistic about this new opportunity. After a safe landing, the shoe salesman grabbed his bags and quickly became thrilled at what he observed. The shoe salesman quickly dialed up his headquarters and demanded to speak to his boss. And he said, "I can't believe what I'm seeing. Send me an assortment of 10,000 pairs of shoes immediately because no one here owns a pair of shoes. They're all running around barefoot. So you see the differences in the perspective as it pertained to the opportunity. And have you ever felt like kicking yourself because you missed a golden opportunity in life? Maybe you missed an opportunity to make a difference in someone else's life. Or maybe it was an opportunity to be a blessing. Or maybe you missed an opportunity to share Christ with someone who's lost. Maybe you didn't get the job or the promotion at work because you weren't prepared for it. Maybe you missed out on witnessing your child hit his first ever home run because you were too busy with other things. Andy Stanley, who's the son of Charles Stanley, pastors in Atlanta, made the statement in his book Visioneering. He said, quote, "We don't need to pray for more miracles. We just need to be more sensitive to the opportunities that God brings our way." And the Bible is full of examples of those who missed their golden opportunity. The people of Noah's day had every opportunity to go into the ark, but yet they all died in rejection. Two thieves had the same opportunity to receive Christ, but only one went to paradise that day. A certain priest and a Levite had the opportunity to minister to an injured man, but both walked by without offering their assistance. And sadly, because we all have the tendency to get caught up with our own lives, we fail many times to see the opportunities that God has placed before us. Opportunities for spiritual growth. Opportunities for Christian service. Opportunities for evangelism. Many times we miss out on opportunities that God wants us to take advantage of. And tonight I want us to take a look at another individual was so caught up in the business of the season that he failed to take advantage of the opportunity that was right before him. And as we see this individual, we can also see what happens when we too get caught up in our own affairs of the season, and then what we can also do to prevent ourselves from missing the golden opportunities. And folks, that individual that I'm talking about tonight is this man who on the end. The Bible says that there was a decree that went out from Caesar Augustus that all of the empire of Rome should be taxed. And the decree was is that each individual, each head of the family must go back to the place of his birth and there would pay his taxes. Joseph reaches and gets his espoused wife Mary, who's great with child, and begins to head down to the town of Bethlehem. And while he is there, the Bible said that the days of Mary were accomplished. In other words, she had filled her term, fulfilled the term of her pregnancy, and the time would come that she has now went into labor. And so the Bible says that Joseph and Mary went to an inn, but could not find room in that inn to lodge in. So therefore, the child Jesus was born in a manger. And what we find is we find that this innkeeper missed out on probably the greatest opportunity throughout the Word of God, and that's the opportunity to witness the very miracle of the birth of Christ. He had opportunity once in a lifetime, opportunity, and yet he missed that opportunity. And Father, there are folks today that have the opportunity to be saved, but yet they still die in their sin and reach an awful place called hell. There are people today that have opportunity to do great things for service for the kingdom of God, but they satisfy and settle themselves on being mediocre. There are folks today that have opportunities to win the lost. There are folks that have opportunity to serve in various capacities through the gifts that God has blessed them with spiritually, but yet they fail to serve in these capacities because they miss their golden opportunity. But folks, we don't need to miss the golden opportunities of life that God gives us. We need to be watchful for the opportunities. We need to be prepared for when the opportunities come, because sadly, many times those opportunities are only once in a lifetime. And sometimes the old train goes by once and it stops off long enough to pick up those who are ready to ride. And then the train goes on and never comes back again. And that's what happened with this innkeeper. But when you look at this innkeeper, you'll find something. The innkeeper was busy too busy to be concerned about this woman who is in labor. Too busy to be concerned about this young man bringing his young wife into town and needing a place to lodge. He was too busy. Why? Because of the season that he was in. No, the season wasn't Christmas. There wasn't a Christmas back then. But the season was tax season. He was so involved because of the fact that people had to flood into the town of Bethlehem and therefore come to pay their taxes. They would find lodging in his inn. And there he was making money. There he was doing good business. He was earning commerce. And there he was not concerned about the very one that was before him because he was so busy with the season that was in front of him. And I wonder how many people today are so busy with the Christmas season that they fail in seeing the opportunity to recognize what Christmas is all about. And there are a lot of folks that will fail to recognize what Christmas is all about because they're so busy in the season. You know, today I spent a little bit of time running to the store. Dad called me up later this evening, probably about 5 o'clock or so, and he wanted to know. He said, "What would your children like for Christmas?" That's a common thing. You all probably asked yourselves that. I wonder what I could get for this, and I wonder what I could get for this person and that person. And we're running here and running there, and we're stringing up lights, and we're putting up decorations. And we're doing all these things. And I don't want you to leave here thinking I'm thinking that any of that's wrong. I don't mind lights and trees and packages and bows and all of that. That's wonderful for the season. I have no problem with those things. However, I'm afraid that all of that has grossly overshadowed the very reason why we have Christmas anyway. And so many folks are so caught up with the season and all of the things that go on in the season that they fail to see the golden opportunity of realizing who Christ is in this season. And folks, I want to show you some things that happen when we get too caught up in ourselves. And the first thing we see in this passage of Scripture tonight is when we get too caught up in ourselves, we miss the opportunity to see God do miracles. We miss the opportunity to see God's miracles. You say, "What are you talking about, Pastor?" I want you to look at three miracles right here in these verses that we see. The first thing that the innkeeper missed was the miracle of the impossible. The miracle of the impossible. The Bible says in verse number 5, here was Mary, his espoused wife, the espoused wife of Joseph, being great with child. Folks, let me tell you something. That was an impossible thing that happened right there because the Bible teaches you and I that Mary had never known a man. Mary had never known Joseph. Mary had never known intimately any person in this life, but yet here she is being great with child. Folks, the innkeeper missed the opportunity to witness the accomplishment of the impossible. And we need to understand we can celebrate this Christmas season, but church, it ought to give us a little hope. It ought to strengthen our faith to know that when we celebrate this season, we're celebrating the fact that we have a God that can do impossible things. Aren't you glad tonight that you have a God that can do the impossible? Aren't you glad tonight you've got a God that can heal diseases when man says they can't be healed? Aren't you glad that God can take a person who's so steeped in sin and do something that psychologists and psychiatrists and medicine can't accomplish? And that's the turning around of the soul. He can save the most wayward individual even when nobody else can reach him. Folks, I'm here to tell you tonight, we've got a God that can do impossible. Possible things. And I'm glad tonight that we serve a God that is involved in the impossible. And folks, when we celebrate Christmas and all we look at is packages and all we look at is trees and bows and all of these things, and nothing wrong with those things, but if that's our entire focus on Christmas, we've missed out on the fact that we serve a God that does impossible things. The great Martin Luther said, "The mystery of the humanity of Christ, that he sunk himself into our flesh, is beyond all human understanding."
Folks, don't let that verse go by you without noticing its impact. Don't let verse 5 just gloss over and without understanding the magnitude of it. Here was a virgin. Here was a woman that had never been touched by man. But yet she was great with child, the Bible said. You say, preacher, do you believe in that virgin vote? I just want to be honest and say, you can't be saved unless you believe in that. And folks, this was the impossible. And yes, with men things may be impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I'm glad that it is, because if it wasn't, I wouldn't be saved tonight. If God was not able to do impossible things, you and I wouldn't be here to worship Him tonight, because He wouldn't be no better off than the rest of us. But I'm glad that we serve a God that can do the impossible. And folks, He missed out. When we get too caught up in ourselves, we miss the accomplishment of the impossible. When we get too caught up in ourselves, we miss the aim of the incarnation. See, now the Bible says in verse number 5-7, she was great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And then the Bible says in verse number 7, she brought forth her firstborn son. Oh, glory to God. Aren't you glad He came? Aren't you glad that He came? Aren't you glad that He came? He didn't have to come, but He came. And He came for you. And He came for me. He came because we were rotten. He came because we were sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, and when we miss out and get caught up in ourselves, we miss the aim of His incarnation. Oh, I'm glad that He came. I'm glad we read that in this. She brought forth her firstborn son. We look at that almost like an afterthought. But oh, glory to God, she brought forth her firstborn son. She brought forth this child named Jesus. She brought forth God made in the flesh. She brought forth the Savior of the world. She brought Him forth. Hallelujah, I'm glad that she did. Aren't you glad she didn't seek out an abortion provider? Somebody should amen that. Aren't you glad she didn't seek one out? Aren't you glad she didn't miscarry? Aren't you glad she didn't go to some back alley hack? Aren't you glad that she actually saw this baby to term? Aren't you glad that He went all the way through and she birthed this son? Aren't you glad that He came? Aren't you glad that He was born in a manger? Aren't you glad that He lived 33 and a half years sinless? And aren't you glad He died on the cross for your sin? But aren't you glad that He rose again on the third day so you and I can be saved? Oh, I'm glad that she brought forth her firstborn son. Folks, we miss the aim of the incarnation when we get too caught up in ourselves. Oh, and we miss the assurance of His indwelling when we get too caught up with ourselves. Can I just remind us all something tonight? This thing ain't about us. This life you're living ain't about you and what you want. It's all about Him and what He desires. Are you living your life that way? You know, ask yourself that question. Are you living your life according to His will? Or are you doing your own thing? Folks, let me tell you something. When you get caught up in your own self too much, you miss out on a lot of things. And you miss out on the assurance of His indwelling. Now look there in that verse 7. They laid Him in a manger, but they did so because of a reason. There was no room in the inn. This innkeeper would not make room for this child. This innkeeper decided, I've got enough and I don't need no more. This innkeeper, even though that Joseph, I'm sure, would have paid money just like the rest of them, decided, you know what, I'm satisfied where I'm at. I wonder how many people today is in that situation. I wonder how many people today has got that same kind of attitude. Well, you know what, I've got everything that I need. Well, I'm just going to just keep on the way that I am. I don't need this Jesus. I don't need Him coming in and messing up my life. I got my plans made out. I know what direction I'm going in. Everything's going the way that I want it to go. If He comes in, He'll mess it all up. I may have to get rid of somebody out of this room to put Him in. Glory to God, that a preacher right there. there. But you know, a lot of folks sit around. But you know what? Oh, God, when you get too caught up with yourself, you miss out on the assurance of His indwelling. You say, preacher, what are you talking about, the assurance of His indwelling? That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said it was Christ in you, the hope of glory. That word hope means assurance. It means a guarantee. Oh, and when God lives on the inside, when you make room for Jesus in your heart, there's an assurance that will flood your soul that He's going to prepare a place for you, that where He is, there you can be also. Glory to God. Let's don't miss out on that. Let's don't miss out on the assurance of His indwelling presence. Oh, when we get too caught up in ourselves, we miss the opportunity to see God's miracles. Wouldn't you like to see God move? Wouldn't you love to see miracles happen in people's lives? Oh, then let's don't get too caught up in ourselves. Let's begin to see things the way God wants them done. Let's begin to do what God wants us to do. Let's live our lives in a manner that's pleasing unto God. And we'll see God do miracles. But we think things are all about us many times. We like to have it our own way. We think it ought to go this or like that. But you know what? Sometimes God comes knocking at the door and says, you know what? I'd like to have a little room. I'd like to have a little room inside there. And you know what? We've got to make a choice. Are we going to dump out something that we don't need that's in there taking up space? Or are we going to leave it there and reject Him and tell Him to go down the road? See, that's what the decision the innkeeper had to make. You know what? This was the king knocking at the door. He didn't know it. Oh, glory to God, but the angels of heaven knew it. Oh, glory to God. Those shepherds knew it when they told. This was the king that came knocking. And tonight He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And He says, if you'll open up. He said, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. Oh, let me tell you something. Tonight, He knocks at the door of your heart. You've got to make the choice. Are you going to make room for Him or reject Him and let Him go the other way? Yeah. If you get too caught up in yourself, you'll do what the innkeeper did. You'll reject Him and say, you know what? I'm satisfied with what I've got on the inside. And I don't need you. Oh, but I'm glad that one day I made a decision. Brother Mitch, I'm glad one day I made a decision to say, God, you know what? I'm willing to give it all up just for You. Don't know what You'll do with all of it, but God, here it is anyway. You can have it. God, I just want You. And I'll tell you, my life has never been the same, and I've been fully satisfied ever since. You know what? I may not have some of the things that this world has. Don't want some of the things this world has. I may not go some of the places the world goes, but I don't want to go some of the places that the world goes. I'll tell you, ever since Jesus came into my heart, I've never been the same. Glory to God, I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to love Him. And when I fall on my face and I get the dirt of this world on me, glory to God, I can lift my hand up and He'll raise me up and clean the mess off of me and give me strength to go on again. I'm glad I made room in my heart for Him one day. Oh, but when you get too caught up in yourselves, you'll also miss the opportunity to celebrate God's message. You not only miss the opportunity to see God's miracles, but you'll miss the opportunity to celebrate God's message. I found something interesting here in my studies. And you know, we've heard this thing explained many ways. I listened to a fellow preach earlier in the week, and he talked about swaddling clothes. And he relates swaddling clothes to burial garments, things like that. And I've looked throughout the Word of God and different things, and I find nowhere really where swaddling clothes were related to burial garments. But here we find Jesus is wrapped in swaddling clothes. And you say, well, what's the point of this? Well, you know what? When you have children today, and I've been over here to the Boone Hospital, I've been to the Ash Hospital and different places when people here in the church have had babies. I remember when my children were born, they were wrapped up and swaddled. And what that was is, in essence, they were taken and they were put, you know, you see these blankets wrapped around them. They tuck it down in real good. And basically what you got is a nice little package. You got the head sticks out. That's about it, isn't it? You know, about all you got. And you know what that does? It binds the child up is what it does. Now, in the days when Christ was born, they would wrap children up in swaddling clothes. And what it would do is it would straighten the limbs up. And it would cause them, at least it was believed in that day, to cause them
them to develop good posture, because it would require their limbs to be straight and therefore grow straight. Their legs would grow straight. Now, doctors recommend that you keep your babies when they're born wrapped in swaddling clothes for a period of time, because in statistics that I've read this week, it says that the possibility is as high that you can eliminate about 50% of the sudden infant death syndrome cases if you'll keep your babies wrapped in swaddling clothes for a period of time. And by having them wrapped in swaddling clothes, it doesn't allow them to roll over on their belly. And it's believed that babies rolling over on their belly play some part into why we have so many SIDS deaths among infant babies today. Well, nevertheless, what basically it does, swaddling clothes basically binds the child. It binds them maybe straight like this rather than like this, but nevertheless it binds. It puts them in some sort of bondage, so to speak. They can't break out, they can't get loose, they can't wiggle their way out. They stay in one location and therefore easy to maintain. You know what? I begin to look in the Word of God, and I found something that I thought, man, really explains what I'm trying to get across tonight about these swaddling clothes. And in Galatians chapter 4, and I want you to turn there with me, if you would, just a moment. And I want you to look in Galatians chapter 4, and I want you to look in verses 3 through 5, and we could go to 7, we'll stop at 5. But I want you to look in Galatians 4, 3 through 5. And look at what Paul is saying right here. He says in verse 3 of Galatians 4, he said, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." We're in bondage to the flesh. We're in bondage to the law. We're in bondage to these things. He says, when we were children, he said, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come. Now, hold your finger right there. Go back to where I was reading in Luke chapter 2. And just hold your finger in both places. And let's look at the parallel that we see right here. Boy, I like this. Look at the parallel. And so it was, in verse number 6 of chapter 2 of Luke. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished. You go back over into Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but when the fullness of the time was come. See the parallel? The time is right, in essence. In Luke chapter 2, the time was right physically that the child would be born. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4, the time was right on God's clock in order for this child to be born. And the Bible said that when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son made of a woman. The Bible said that Mary delivered, in verse 6 of chapter 2 of Luke, she delivered this child. The Bible says he was born made of a woman. But the Bible says in verse 4 of Galatians 4 that he was made under the law. When he was born with the restrictions of the law. When we see that Christ is wrapped in swaddling clothes, why is it that God would even put in the word that His Son was wrapped in swaddling clothes? Why is it not recorded of all of these babies that was born throughout the Word of God that their mothers wrapped them in swaddling clothes? Why only Jesus? Why was He the only one? Because God was telling us something. He was telling us that Jesus came in the same picture that you and I come in. He came bound under the law. But the Bible said that when He came made of a woman, made under the law, He didn't come to stay that way. But He came to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Glory to God. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, but he didn't remain in swaddling clothes. He was born under the law, but he didn't remain under the law. You and I are bound by the law, but aren't you glad we'll not be judged by the law? But hallelujah, there's grace, glory to God. Grace that will save us from all of our sins. And when we get too caught up in ourselves, and in this season, we miss the opportunity to celebrate that message. We miss the opportunity to celebrate that God came into flesh and that God was made under the law. But He came made under that law so that He could redeem you and I out from under the very thing that would condemn us. So when somebody else wants to condemn you, you just tell them that's all right. I've already been redeemed from it. You can try to condemn me if you want to, but God's already redeemed me from the curse of the law. God has already redeemed me from the bondage of the law. I can't stand condemned anymore because I've been set free from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, Paul said. See, there's no condemnation to those that are saved. There's no condemnation to those that are living according to the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. When we get too caught up in ourselves, we fail to celebrate that message. When we get too caught up in ourselves, we'll look at a manger, but we won't look at why. We'll look at swaddling clothes, but we won't understand the meaning. We'll look at a baby, but we won't see a majestic king. But oh, hallelujah, the message of salvation is still in this story. We don't have to wait to Easter to get saved, but we can get saved right here in this story because Jesus came to redeem us, the Bible says. We get too caught up in ourselves. We miss the opportunity to celebrate God's message. In New York's Hayden Planetarium, a special Christmas holiday show was enhanced by an added feature. A giant lollipop tree was projected onto the planetarium dome and surrounded by a horizon filled with brilliantly colored toys, which came to life and cavorted around to the tune of jingle bells. And at the climax, a huge figure of Santa Claus faded out in a snowstorm, and the Star of Bethlehem broke through into a sky that produced exactly what the Palestinian sky on the night of the Nativity produced. The designer of this show may not realize that he dramatically staged the supreme Christmas message that our world needs to understand, the recovery of the lost meaning of Christmas. It's a tragic loss to substitute jingle bells for Hark the Herald Angels Sing and a lollipop tree for the manger of Bethlehem. The instinct is right to fade out these things in the light of the Christmas star. It's about God's incarnation and that the angels sing God with us. That's what it's all about. It's all about a God that left the glories of heaven and came down in the likeness of sinful man and bore our sins, bore our shame, bore our sorrows so that He could redeem us from the condemnation of the law. That's what it's all about. And finally, when we get too caught up in ourselves, we miss the opportunity to share in God's mission. Folks, when we get too caught up in ourselves, we miss the opportunity to see God's miracles. When we get too caught up in ourselves, we miss the opportunity to celebrate God's message. And when we get too caught up in ourselves, we miss the opportunity to share in God's mission. Now, I didn't read this part, but I want you to look with me in Luke 2 down just a little bit further now. The Bible said, in the same country, meaning in and around Bethlehem, in the same country, abiding in the field, there were shepherds that was keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the Bible said the angel of the Lord in verse 9 came, and the glory of the Lord shone round about those shepherds, and they were so afraid, the Bible says.
And the angel said unto him, fear not. And he gives him a message that he says, I'm going to bring you good tidings of great joy. And it's not just to you, but it's to all people, he says. He says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. May know exactly where that was at. He said, there's a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And said, now this is going to be the sign. He said, you're going to find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then suddenly there was with the angel, there was a multitude of other angels, the Bible says, and they were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then in verse number 15, here's the crux right here. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Now, look what it says. The Bible says in verse 16, they came with haste. They didn't take their time, but they got there as fast as they could get there. They found Mary, they found Joseph, and they found the babe lying in a manger. Now, they heard the message of the angels. They saw the sign that they said. And in verse number 17, all glory to God, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Oh, let me tell you something. They didn't miss the opportunity to share in God's mission. Let me tell you something. When we get too caught up in ourselves, we miss out on the opportunity to share in God's mission. Oh, let me tell you something. They could have said, boy, we must really be something. The angels came down and told us, and we were one of the first ones, if not the first ones, that came and saw this babe laying here, saw this great Savior that was born in the city of David, saw these things, and the angels came down and showed them. You know what? They could have got caught up in themselves. They could have got caught up in the season. They could have got caught up in all those things. But you know what? They didn't miss the opportunity to share in God's mission. And the mission was to tell the world that a Savior had came, because the angel just told them that this, unto you, being it was a personal message, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But he said, I bring you good tidings of glad joy, but it's not just to you, he said. He said, it shall be to all people. They knew the mission was spread the word. God has sent a Savior. And we get too caught up in ourselves. We fail. We fail in the opportunity. We'll miss the opportunity to share in God's mission. You know, every year we all get things, I'm sure, for Christmas. And certainly nothing wrong with it. I hope everybody gets good things for Christmas and a lot of whatever you can get. But I wonder how much time we spend after that telling everybody what we got. But we don't tell everybody about who it was that came as a Savior of mankind, that came born of a virgin, that came not as a king in a palace, but as a poor baby laid in a manger. There the Savior of all the world came for you and I. And this message is to be spread abroad throughout all the world that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. But oh, when we, like this innkeeper, get so caught up in the season and get so caught up in ourselves, we miss the opportunities to share in God's mission. And His mission has always been, go into all the world and make disciples of every land. Oh, this is God's mission. And folks, when we get too caught up in ourselves, we'll fail to see the miracles of God. We get too caught up in ourselves. We fail on all these things. We miss the opportunities that God has placed there for us. And I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that you've had opportunities in the past where you could have been saved. You've had opportunities in the past where the Word of God was given to you. You've had opportunities in the past where you knew the Holy Spirit was convicting your heart, letting you know that you need to be saved. letting you know that your life is not in line with God. Letting you know that the only hope is Jesus. And letting you know that regardless of all those things, He loves you with an everlasting love, and His desire is to save you by His grace. But there you turned Him down. There, like that innkeeper, you said, I have no room. There, like that innkeeper, you said, go somewhere else. And there, like that innkeeper, you walked away from Him. And how many times have you had that opportunity? How many times have you heard the message? How many times? Oh, but God has been gracious enough tonight to bring you back one more time. He's been gracious enough tonight to get you to come back one more time so you can hear this wonderful message again. And His message is, don't get too caught up in yourself. This message is, don't let it all be just about you, but give me a little room. Just give me some room to come in. Oh, let me tell you something. You may say, you know, preacher, I'm just a mess, but you know what? God loves you. He loved this old mess, and He'll love your mess. And you may say, preacher, I've turned Him away so many times. You know what? There He is here still tonight, though, knocking at the door of your heart. You may have just turned Him away yesterday. You may have turned Him away from somebody this afternoon, but you know what? Here He is again tonight, still saying, I love you. Still saying, here's the message. Still saying, don't miss out on this opportunity. Oh, let me tell you something. Jesus came for you. He came to die for you. You say, why? Because you need Him. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you stand tonight?